Howdy, folks. Today, I've got my brother in Christ down here in El Paso, Brandon Sledge, with me. And he wants to talk about time. And I don't know quite where we're going to go with the conversation. It's kind of all on him today. I know as I think about time, there's a lot of scriptures that come to mind. Psalm 119:60, the psalmist said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Me as an evangelist, when I think about time, I think about the lack of urgency that people tend to have. But I know Brandon's got some stuff he wants to talk about, and we're just going to kind of go with it and see where we end up. So my brother, I turn it over to you.
Yeah, bro. I wanted to talk about the topic of time because I don't think that a lot of people, I don't think it's talked about as often or thought about as often as it should be. I know for me personally, it's something I deal with or I see regularly because of my job. I work in the emergency department at one of the local hospitals here. And so the natural aging process and just the reality of death is something I see very often. And so from infants to, people in their 90s, people die every day, right? But the thing is that I don't think that people understand or you really think about this because you don't have to work at a hospital or be in the medical field to know that people die every day. You don't have to be in the medical field to know that you're getting older, right? You feel it, you see it. It's just natural, you know what I mean? But that's the thing that I don't think that people really take into consideration. It may be a passing thought, but there's no connection with reality. And so one person in particular, I remember they said that it makes them feel depressed. And so no one wants to talk about death all the time. I get it. And not saying that you should, but I'm just saying you can't just skirt past that thought and just kind of go past reality and the fact that this is going to happen eventually. So this is kind of why I want to bring this topic up, because I just see that it's a need, and I just, from my interactions with people and things like that. So to get us started and get a better understanding of the value of time, we need to understand what makes up a person. And so what makes you you, or what makes me me? And so I was just curious as I'm looking at this, and I just typed it in Google, because the internet's always right. So Google. So I just was curious. So I just said, what makes you you? Typed it into Google. And so depending on what website you went to is the answers that you get or the results. But the typical answers I received was what makes you you is your DNA, your chromosomes, your genes, your facial features, your experiences, your personality, so forth and so on, things like that. So that's what I got from Google. But since this is Words of Truth from the Scriptures podcast, we're going to see what the Scriptures have to say. So what makes you you? I want to start in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." 1 Kings chapter 17 through 22. Here God is sending the prophet Elijah to a widow woman and her son. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. So he died." He died. Verse 18 says, "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. James chapter 2, 26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what makes up a person, and what makes you as an individual person, is your soul. You're a soul with a body and not a body with a soul. So once you realize how frail this body is and that this body will one day return back to dust, and it's your soul that will live on for eternity and not your physical body, that's when you can truly start to having a better understanding of the value of time. So that's why I wanted to kind of pick this topic and kind of, I think it'd be beneficial for the listeners and us all just to kind of remember just the value of time.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think people think of who they are and what they are, how they exist very often. It's long been a problem that, you know, people get complacent. We see it with Israel in Amos 6:1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. So people get complacent. They don't think about it. Mm-hmm. Bro, when you're at the hospital and you come across people, you know, I think about scriptures like Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Mm-hmm. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call upon him when he is near. You come across people maybe that are young. Car accidents,
right?
Different things. How many people wake up that day and think, today is the day I'm going to die?
Bro, that is a constant thought that I think about every time I see one of those accidents. No one thinks about that. No, I mean, why would you think that today is the day that you're going to die or I'm going to get in an accident today? But that's the typical thought, but no one really considers that. And it's just reality of it. It's just the reality of life. You know, things happen. It just kind of is what it is. No one wakes up that day and says, I'm going to die.
Yet, the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 about a principle of time and chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people are thinking about this, but in Ecclesiastes 9, 10 through 12, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in evil time when it falleth suddenly upon him. I mean, we live in some times, you know, like you and I were just talking about before we started this podcast. I was just getting car insurance quotes.
Right.
And I'm asking, why in the world is my car insurance jumping out the roof? Mm-hmm. Why is it doubling? I haven't had any moving violations, car accidents, anything. I've got a 33-year clean driving record.
Right.
What in the world is happening? And, you know, it's like, well, where you live, mm-hmm. car theft is up. Accidents are up. Mm-hmm. The percentage is astronomical. Wow. Well, we live on the border. Right. Things are happening on the border. Mm-hmm. You know, when we think of how fragile life is, we're faced with the fact that crossing the border every day are people that could potentially have diseases
right.
that the doctors at the hospital you work at have never heard of.
Right, for sure.
They don't have the medications mm-hmm. to take care of. There could be insects coming with them that are carrying viruses that never heard of. What wasn't it? I think you were telling me malaria at some point.
Yeah, one of the people that was crossing over the border, I believe it was from Honduras or somewhere. I couldn't recall the exact place, but yeah, tested positive for malaria and just in the hospital with us all, with us all. So yeah, so whatever may come through that, whatever may come over that border may come to that hospital.
And
into the city.
That person may end up, listen, listener, that person may end up in the city, town, county mm-hmm. you live in. Yep. You may be traveling. You may go to a rest area or a gas station, and there may be some infectious disease that you encounter. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in. And it's you know what? Don't get caught up in the immigration thing.
Right, right. No.
Right? It's just a fact of life.
Right.
You know, it's something that, you know, in 2020, people became hyper aware of. And here we are in 2024, and it's like, yeah, we're good.
Back to normal, quote unquote.
It's all good. But God has told us, you know, Psalm 89:48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. Hebrews 9:27.
Yep.
Those are facts that have been in play for thousands of years mm-hmm. of the existence of mankind. You can wake up You can be healthy. You could have just gone to the doctor yesterday, got all the blood work and everything else done, and go into cardiac arrest. Unexplained. Right. How many times do y'all get somebody that doesn't have heart disease that have a heart attack?
It happens more often than people would like to think. Just random. Young, healthy, seemingly healthy, you know, and then they just come in like, we just don't know what happened. He was doing this activity or she was doing that activity, and she just passed out. Just don't know. Again, with that principle of Ecclesiastes 9:11, that time and chance. You just don't know. That's why time is so precious. You know, this is kind of why I wanted to hit on this subject, because it's not talked about. I want to really, really bring it to light. You brought up Psalm 89. I like to bring up Job chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow." You know, this life is very, very short. We don't have much time. And the time that is spent here, you know, we have to use it wisely. We were just talking about using your time wisely before we got on the podcast. But just those type of principles. And also, if you understand how valuable time is, then you always live ready to die. That's really a huge point, because you brought up Ecclesiastes 9. Not only could that happen, not only could time and chance happen, but the Lord could come at any time. Matthew 25, 1 through 13, about the parable of the 10 virgins, you know, 5 wise, 5 foolish. You just never know when it's going to happen. So if you understand that you're a soul with a body and that you value time, you live your everyday life in accordance to the will of God, and you know that you're ready to die. So regardless of what happens, you're ready. And so that's kind of the mentality that needs to be had at all times, regardless, because you don't know what's going to happen. I might as well going to keep going with that one. For us as Christians, we ought to understand that we're strangers in this world. We're strangers and pilgrims. So we understand that this is not our final destination. This is not our home. So we're just visiting. And so it's amazing that we're going over 1 Peter. And we're talking about these Gentile Christians that are scattered and they're facing persecution. And just imagine going through all this persecution and everything they went through, but without having anything to look forward to or having no hope. But we see Peter is writing these people to kind of encourage them and to strengthen them to focus on the finish line and focus on the eternal and not just the temporary, which is this life and the persecution that they were facing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, says, "Blessed be the God of the and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So just kind of that principle that we're a soul with a body and not the other way around. Receiving the end of your faith. So yes, you may be going through the trials and tribulation and the persecution that they were facing at that time, but focus on the end. Focus on not the temporary that's gonna perish, but focus on the end. Yes, it's difficult, but that's why when you're converted, those of us that have been converted in Romans chapter 8, 1 through 8, we put off that carnal man and that carnal way of thinking and put on that spiritual. So this is the benefit of putting on that spiritual thought process and not having that carnal, because you don't get caught up necessarily into this life. Like you go through your things happen, you know, life could suck sometimes. However, you know, this is not it. You just kind of remember that this is not it.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul gives a quote out of Isaiah 49. In the first two verses, he says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just thinking about receiving the end of your faith, salvation of your souls. Mm-hmm. That's all about Jesus coming. Mm-hmm. Today, we're supposed to look at it as that's today.
Right.
That's today. I mean, the Bible tells us, you know, in 1 John 2 and verse 18, mm-hmm. little children, it is the last time. And as you've heard, that Antichrist should come. Even now, there are many Antichrists whereby you know it is the last time. Hebrews starts off in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who appointed heir of all things, by whom also made the world. This is it. These are the last days.
Right.
You know, it's like you're standing in line and you're waiting for something. Where was it recently? Oh, yeah. When we changed back to our internet and I was at the place where we get our internet, you mm-hmm. had to sign in. And then you're standing there and mm-hmm. you're watching your name go up the board. Yeah. I think there's like 14 people in front of me. And, you know, it just seems like it takes forever. Mm-hmm. And then you start getting excited. You see three people and then you get a text message. You're next in line. Well, guess what? We got that text message.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. now is the last time. Mm-hmm. People say things that just spell ignorance. Like, I don't think today is my time. Like, today is all of our time.
Right.
You know, it's receiving the end of your faith, salvation of your soul. That, am I ready now? You brought up the parable of the 10 virgins. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what is said before that, what leads into that in right. Matthew chapter 24, because you brought up Matthew 25,
right.
1 through 13. Mm-hmm. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 through the end of the chapter says, therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunken, then the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, shall cut him asunder and appoint him as portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mm-hmm. That spells modern man.
Right.
It's like Peter had to deal with was in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where, you know, just to show this isn't just a problem in 2024.
Right.
You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. And we're in the last days again.
Right.
Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, this is great. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. So, hey, this has caught people off guard in times past.
Right.
And then he says, but the heaven and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is a with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slack to his long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And he goes on to talk about the destruction of the earth mm-hmm. and what is expected of man to be ready for that day and to live in a way that is ready for that day.
Right.
And that's going to always be the problem. Whether you tell people, hey, come to the hospital and watch.
Yeah.
I've told people, go to a funeral home. And see, you know, the age discrepancies
right.
of people that are there and ask their loved ones, you know, did you expect it? And of course, yeah, you're going to have people who have died of diseases
right.
and people of old age, but then you're going to have somebody that was hit by a drunk driver, somebody that had some kind of unknown illness, somebody that they had cancer, but they caught it way too late mm-hmm. and there was nothing that could be done. And people are going to tell you those horror stories, right?
Yep.
And whether it's the coming of the Lord, which is today for each one of us, right. we ought to be living like it's today mm-hmm. or death.
Right.
It's today.
It's today. Yeah.
And
but it's a principle that like 2 Peter 3, they're willingly ignorant of. It's a principle that people know, because what happens is through the years, I've heard this saying that if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I've heard that principle over and over again, but it was what it's referring to was your sport or your career or being ready for that opportunity when it finally comes. So people have that knowledge of that principle, but don't take it to the spiritual because it's not today. You know, if you have that understanding, so if you train, if you practice, and you're doing all the things that you want to do to get better at your craft or your sport or whatever that may be, you have that understanding of, man, as soon as my opportunity comes, I'll be ready. You have that understanding of that principle, but not in the spiritual sense. It's the same situation. If you're ready every day for the Lord to come, that's what's going to happen. You'll be ready when that time comes. So kind of along those lines, I want to talk, you know, I'm a big basketball fan, right? And so kind of talking about this whole thing is reminds me of this guy, this former basketball player, Kobe Bryant, right? You know, Kobe, he was known for putting a lot of time and effort into basketball and, you know, with the weightlifting, you know, practice on the court or whatnot, watching film. And so when you hear people talk about him, you tend to hear stuff like this, like fierce competitor or the Mamba mentality or, you know, crazy work ethic or champion. Well, Kobe Bryant died in 2020 at the age of 41. So when I hear that stuff, when I hear all those things, I'm thinking about, okay, what good did his championships do for him now? His accolades, his accomplishments, what good is that doing for him today, now? And so that's what I think about. And I've heard many other former athletes say the same thing. One guy even said, I was a terrible father because all my time and effort was spent towards my craft. And that's just the kind of the common denominator you hear. And when I think about, you know, you don't have to be a professional athlete, but just the patients that I see at work, dementia patients, you know, these people have these medical conditions that they just don't know what's going on right now. This person was young, seemingly healthy at one point, and now this person doesn't know anything. They're just talking a lot of gibberish, or they just don't make sense when they're talking. This person once could have had a career, could have had a higher paying job or a higher recognizable job, or could have been prominent in their field or whatnot. But again, what good is that doing them now? They don't know what's going on. All they have is the quote unquote legacy that people talk about so often but what good is that? It kind of reminds me of a couple points. You brought up 2 Peter 3, 9 through 14, but Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 16, 19 through 31. Lazarus was the beggar. The rich man had his riches on earth. They both died and went to the Hadean realm. The rich man went to torment. Lazarus went to paradise. But then the rich man was asking for a drop of water for his tongue. But Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. So it's like, okay, so all these riches and everything that you have in this life, what good is it going to do for you when you die? You have to think about that. Not saying that you can't have money or things like that, but you have to understand where you put your priorities and importance towards. That's the kind of principle that I wanted to bring out with that life is temporary and, you know, be mindful where you're putting your time and efforts.
Like 200 thoughts.
Yeah. Go for it.
In Psalm 49, 6 through 12, mm-hmm. Talking about the Kobe Bryants out there,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, mm-hmm. none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, the brutish person die, and leave their wealth to others. Mm. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, mm-hmm. and their dwelling places to all generation. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. You know, if you were to look at anybody who is wealthy and say, you're just like a dog, you're going to die someday. And your doghouse going to belong to somebody else. No way. Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, in this context, God gives him 15 more years and mm-hmm. Hezekiah wants a miracle. You know, it's a greater account.
Right.
But the idea of set your house in order
right.
today, today. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7, looking back into the book of Numbers, says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice." In verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." In verse 15, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And then now later in chapter 4 and verse 7, still same context. Again, he limited a certain day, saying unto David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear your voice, hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Today.
Today.
Today. You're taking your helicopter ride. You're with your daughter. You think all things are good today.
Right.
You know, what's the state of your soul today?
Makes you pause. Makes you think. It should. It should. Because when you have all in this life, and then you talk about being complacent earlier about Israel. When you have all things that are in this life and you're okay and everything's going well, you don't think about today being the day that you're going to die. And so all you're caught up into is the daily life, the daily routine, or getting better at something, or doing this and doing that. You don't necessarily realize or understand or take the time to think about where your soul is after you die, or what's going to happen to you after you die. That's the important. When, again, going back to the earlier point or principle, is that you're a soul with a body and not the other way around. If you don't get that point, if you think that this body is going to live forever and that you're going to be, I hear people talk about, "I want to live till I'm 100. Well, let me tell you, the things that would happen, though, one or two things could happen. You could be lucky and you still be functional and things like that until your 90s or 100. But I've seen people in their 50s and 60s that look terrible as far as their quality of life. So I don't know why anybody would want to live to 100. But if somebody's lucky enough to you just don't know. But anyway, if you understand that you're a soul with a body, first and foremost, those thoughts, your priorities would definitely start shifting. You would think that, okay, yes, I can enjoy this life. I can be in this life. I can be here and I can enjoy the moment. However, if I was to die today, I know where my soul is going to be. If you don't have that understanding and you just think that you're a physical body, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand. You're not going to live your life in a way and in a manner that you're going to be ready, that you're going to have boldness in the day of judgment. 1 John 4:17. You're not going to live in that way because you're going to be more on the carnal, physical side and not the spiritual, knowing that you're going to die. This physical body's going to die, but you're going to live on for eternity.
Bro, here we are sitting in my garage.
Yeah.
Recording this podcast. If you look to your right, what do you got sitting next to you?
Whole bunch of gym equipment. You got a bench, some weights, and some dumbbells, things like that. Yep.
And then to the other side, ellipticals.
Elliptical, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. All this stuff for physical fitness. Physical fitness. Both you and I work out.
Sure. Yep.
Sure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's it really going to matter?
A whole bunch of nothing.
Right? 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." I'm just starting at verse 1.
Uh-huh.
"Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing be refused if be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness.
Mm-hmm.
For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that that is to come." You go to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Any doctor I've ever been to.
Right.
My doctor. I mean, last time I was at my doctor, I'm like, "Hey, doctor, look, I work out 6 days a week. Mm. I'm eating insanely healthy. I'm putting on some pounds.
Yeah. You know, still.
Still. Okay, let's do blood work. Do blood work. Hey, no, you know, this is good. This is good. I mean, da-da-da. It's just genetics. You just can't beat genetics.
Nope.
Bro, Taylor and I both have high cholesterol. I have no reason to have high cholesterol, but have high cholesterol. Have to be on medication for high cholesterol. It doesn't matter how many veggies I eat. Doesn't matter how lean I go. Cholesterol's up. Those cholesterol medications, they give you muscle cramps and all kinds of fun little side effects. But hey, you know, clogged arteries and a sooner heart attack, whatever the case may be. Bodily exercise profiteth little. I mean, it's not unprofitable, but it profit little. But the world we live in,
oh man,
what's the focus on?
Bro, just watch TV. Just look, drive down the street, the billboards, ice sculpting, or, you know, look younger, find your fountain of youth. All these sales pitches and things like that. Again, you don't have to work in the medical field or see somebody die every day. You know, so I'm getting older, right? I'm 38 years old, almost 39, right? The things that I've done in the past, no problem working out, things like that. But over the last 4 or 5 years or so, little aches and pains have been creeping up. Every time I work out, I might feel a certain thing. Or every time I work out, I might feel that certain thing. I was like, where is this coming from? So, bro, I'm learning just little by little that this body is breaking down. Regardless of how much exercise you do, I could do the same exercise that I've done from the age of 25 to now, still be able to do it, but don't feel the same. Don't recover the same, or I might have a different feeling. I just, I think I have a partially torn rotator cuff right now. I have no clue how I did it. I have no clue. I didn't feel anything right at the moment, but I just noticed my arm was hurting. I've had it in the past on the right shoulder, so now it's my left. So now it feels exactly the same as my right. So I'm like, how in the world? But that's just the process of age. And every year I go, and every year I'm getting older, I'm understanding that more and more, that you can work out as much as you want to, but what does it really matter? Your body is getting older. You're breaking down. You can't do anything about it. Yes, you can try to hold it off as long as you can, but you're not going to delay the inevitable. It's going to happen. Where's your focus? Where is your focus? Yes, you can. It's profitable a little. It's profitable. But however, where's your focus? You can't make that your main focus. Again, going to the basic principle, you're a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. So you have to understand it's your soul that's going to live on for eternity, not this physical body. This body's going to turn back to dust. Dust. You're not going to live forever. You're not, regardless of how much you work out, how much you bench, how much you run. It's not.
Bro, you go on vacation.
Yeah.
You stay in a hotel room. How much do you care about that hotel room?
You don't. I mean, you keep it however you want to. Just kind of, you don't pay too much attention about it.
Why not?
Because it's not your home. It's not your permanent residence.
Neither is this body.
No.
Neither is this body.
No.
You know, this is our hotel room, man. That's was your point about strangers and pilgrims.
Sure.
The First Peter 2:11 point. We're strangers and pilgrims. That's the point. That your body is a hotel room.
Man.
You know what? Make your bed. Keep it comfortable.
Right, right.
But you ain't going to stay here.
No, not at all. Not at all, man. But that's contrary to popular belief. I think there's a disconnect where people know, but they don't pay attention to it. Like they are going to live forever. Like they are going to be on this earth for a long time. Like you just don't know. Why put all your eggs into one basket? And then, so let's say that you do get into the accident, but you don't die, but you're not the same. Where is that going to put you? You know, the weights that you used to lift, the miles that you used to run. You can attest to that for sure. Where is that going to put you mentally? Where is that going to put you? Like, if that's all you had going was your physical body, then you're setting yourself up for failures, first of all, what you're doing. But where's your soul? Where are you spiritually? That's the question. Where are you spiritually?
Well, it's godliness that is profitable unto all things. The promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. I wish people would look at 1 Timothy 4:8 mm-hmm. in that context. You know, there were people that were forbidding the pleasures of life.
Mm-hmm.
That turned into Paul telling Timothy to remind people of those liberties that they have, but to understand the body is temporary.
Very temporary.
And godliness is beneficial to your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's beneficial to the temporary, to the earthly, but most importantly, to the eternal, mm-hmm. To what goes on. The idea of living like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, hey, tomorrow's going to come. I'm good. Yet we're told not to boast thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Mm-hmm.
The language in James 4. Mm-hmm. I figured you would bring that up at some point.
Yeah, I had it.
Go for it.
There you go. James 4:13-14. It says, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That kind of reminds me of that Job 8:9, what I read earlier. Just the language and just kind of putting it into ways that we can understand. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. How quick does that go by? How quick, how temporary is this life? How that term time is precious. It's precious because we don't have much of it. People say that, but do they really understand? Do you really internalize that when you say that, when people say that? You hear that, but do people really understand what that means? We don't have much time on this earth. We don't have much time. I mean, again, from infants to people in their 80s and 90s, people die. From infants to people in their 90s. So you just don't know. You just don't know. You have no clue. But kind of in reference to this process and the thought process that we're talking about, the congregation in Ephesus, primarily Gentile congregation, they were taught not to walk in the vanity of their mind as other Gentiles. In Ephesians 4:17, and if you go to 5:11, they were taught to not be deceived as well by proving all things that is acceptable unto God. Ephesians 5:10. In Ephesians 5:14-16, they were going to accomplish this by being spiritually awake. So Ephesians 5:14-16 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Being spiritually awake, not being spiritually asleep, for those that have been converted and obeyed the gospel. Being awake, you can't get complacent. You can't spend your time in this world and say, I'm good. I've done X amount of things in my life. I'm good. I think I've made it already. You're still on this earth. You haven't made it. So you can't fall asleep spiritually. Similar point could be said in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8, kind of going back to the context of 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I'm just going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8. It says, but of the time, the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the children of night nor darkness. Kind of, this is a great point where you bring it up, and I've learned to kind of help people understand that they can teach anything out of the scriptures by using this verse. It's so amazing. It's so funny that works. But therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's kind of funny that when you bring that scripture up, you can say, it's a sin to go to sleep. Of course, out of context, but kind of with the principle that you can teach anything out of the scriptures. But I always find it there very fascinating when you say that verse and you're like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But it has a greater context, and that's what kind of where we are in the context. Verse 7 says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet and hope for the salvation. So just being spiritually awake, not being asleep, you can't fall asleep spiritually. So the way you're going to not be deceived is you're going to not fall asleep spiritually. So you always have to be working. You always have to be alert, being sober. That word sober keeps popping up. Being sober, being vigilant, being understanding that what you're up against. Your time has to be spent wisely. If you were to ask yourself a question, there's 24 hours in a day. Can you account for your time? It's a personal question that we all have to ask ourselves. Can you account for your time? And of course, we're not trying to say how you should spend your time. No one's trying to tell you that you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z. But it's just a personal question for you to evaluate yourself. We're all supposed to examine ourselves. So you have to understand, where is my time being spent? Is my time most being spent focusing on the carnal here and now? Or is it being spent for my soul? I know for me personally, when I was, in error, all my time was spent trying to get this career goal that I had in mind. Night and day, day and night. And that's all I did. Worry about it, working out, doing all these things that I need to do to accomplish this goal, to accomplish this carnal goal. That's where my time was spent. I knew that. Now I'm looking back and I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, I wasted a lot of time. Considering, but if I can spend all that time focusing on carnal things, how much the more can I do for spiritual? Well, now that I understand that I'm a soul with a body first, I can put all my time and effort into something that's going to last for eternity and not just for that carnal temporary benefit. Again, you can enjoy this life, 1 Timothy 6:17. However, you have to understand what the priority is. You can take time to enjoy for leisure, things of that nature. I'm not saying that you have to keep your head glued into the scriptures or the Bible all the time. However, you just have to understand where you are and what the priorities of this life is. And it's your soul that's going to live on for eternity, not your physical body.
How do you get that time back?
Oh man, you can't. You cannot. No matter how much money you have, how many degrees you have, how many awards you have won, you can never get that time back.
You come back to what I read earlier about Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20, where he was told to set his house in order.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus, or not, did I say Exodus 20? 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. I don't know actually what I said. Can't quite rewind to hear that right now. But
can't go back in time.
Can't go back in time. Said it. We don't edit this.
Let it go.
We record it and let it roll as is. Mistakes and all. But it is 2 Kings 20 and verse 1 that I meant to say, whatever I actually did say.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I've sat at the point of death of a lot of people. And there are people that, the conversations were extremely edifying.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Wright, mm-hmm. Sister Pat Edwards.
Yeah.
Then there's others. Their house wasn't in order.
Mm.
That, think about Paul. I'll take you through a progression of thought.
All right.
Starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul and Timothy are writing this letter, you being referenced to them.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. This sounds miserable. He says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Bro, let me tell you this. Somebody comes in the hospital and starts talking like that. What are the doctors going to recommend?
An emergency detention order, an EDO.
He goes on, we having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For this chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's talking about the physical body. We have a building by the house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. They were at a point the world would consider insanity. Like, that sounds like somebody ready to take their life.
Right.
No, that sounds like somebody is ready to die.
Right.
You know, Hezekiah, your life is not in order. Your house is not in order. Paul and Timothy, they're like, hey, we're not looking at the things that are temporal.
Right.
We're not holding on to the things that are here. So that when you do come to Paul's final letter in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he tells Timothy in verse 68, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but also all them that love him at his appearing. When you look at Paul, he had his house in order.
Right.
When he wrote 2 Corinthians and the day that he died, and not differently. His house was in order because his mindset was not on the things that were temporal. Think about what that would do to people psychologically. Yeah. You know, as we age, you tear your rotator cuff. When I was your age, I was walking through the living room. You know, here I am out running 10-mile runs.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
and nothing's happening to me. You know, I'm running 10-mile runs other than I suffer from dehydration a few times on those 105-degree days.
Right.
But I just walk through the living room, boom, tear my Achilles tendon.
Go figure.
Overcome that, recover, get back into running. One day I'm out walking with Katrina and Taylor. Taylor pulled one of her little fits, and I stepped into a ditch and broke three or four bones in the bottom of my foot. Same foot, right foot, same leg, right? Same problem. I've had a fractured hip on that same leg, knee problem going back to high school on that same leg. Dude, what gives, right?
Right, yeah.
And you know, at those moments, it was immediate frustration.
Right, sure, yeah.
I'm putting in all, and then I just was mindful of what Paul said. Look not at the things that are temporal.
Right.
I think about what it would do for people psychologically.
Sure, yeah.
Psychologically. If they would focus not on the things that are temporal, but on the things that are eternal. You know, because you and I talked about it back in January when I was like, just trying different things to take off some of the weight that unexplainably comes on. What I had Katrina do back in January was hide the scale. I said, hey, do me a favor. I said, hide the scale. Just ditch it. I don't care. Whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just done looking at it. If we put the things that are eternal in our sight more than the things that are temporal, what it would do for our mental health, let alone our spiritual well-being.
Right. Sure. Yeah. When you get caught up into the physical side of it, it'll take you. You can go down that road and you can go far down that road if you allow it. But if you take those measures, if you recognize in yourself what you're going through or what you're going, what the possible end is, you could stop all that stuff. You can try to redirect your mind. Like we always talk about redirecting that mind. The mind is very powerful. So you have to understand, I need to put these measures in place for me not to go down this carnal road of thinking. Because yeah, my physical is there, and yes, I'm in the physical now. However, this physical won't last. So putting your mind, redirecting your mind to that spiritual is going to be paramount. Yeah, for that psychological standpoint, I mean, I'll keep it vague, but you know, seen and heard a lot of different things. I know a number of people that have committed suicide over my years, and you would think that quote unquote these people are very successful on the outward, but they're suffering. They're miserable inside. A friend of mine was on a fire department with me back in Dallas, committed suicide. And on the outside, he was a firefighter. He was all about firefighting. Then you fast forward, took his own life. That's all he had.
He had nothing to look forward to.
Nothing. He was absolutely miserable. But when you take firefighting away, this is my identity. This is who I am. What do I do now? You know? So it's very sad to think about that. But yeah, if you think about the spiritual and keep that spiritual in the forefront, you have all eternity to look forward to. Mm-hmm. You have something to look forward to. Kind of like we referred to back in 1 Peter. Peter's trying to encourage them and strengthen them to look forward about the finish line and the eternal, not that temporary. Yes, it sucks. I mean, who wants to be persecuted? Mm-hmm. You know, you're going through this difficult time. But that's when you have to turn on that switch on that mind. Like, hey, okay, yes, I have to put everything in priority and perspective. Like, yes, I'm going through this right now, but it's temporary. And what you just read in 2 Corinthians 4, light affliction. That always gets me, that terminology, light affliction. In the first century, we go through nothing in comparison to what they were dealing with at these times. So you have to understand what they, if they can write about light affliction at that time, I mean, come on.
Being beaten to the point of...
Come on, man.
They think you're dead.
Come on, man. No comparison. No comparison.
What problems do we have?
Really, what do we deal with? I mean, a torn rotator cuff. That was my own doing. Not somebody beating me that I have a rotator cuff. But, I mean, light affliction. I mean, come on, guys. That's just so always amazing when I hear that terminology, light affliction, that you can look at it in that way. And I think it's to the point of death, that they thought they were counted worthy, that they were, I forget the terminology. Let's see. I think it's
Acts 5.
Acts 5.
Yeah, you're talking about Acts 5, 40 through 42.
Exactly. Counted worthy, yes.
Yeah. Acts 5, 41, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. They were counted worthy.
Yes. And now,
to suffer for his name, I think.
Yeah. Suffer shame for his name, yep.
Daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. This is after they were beaten.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That same context that you were talking about. I mean, when you think about that,
Light affliction.
Come on, man. Like, what are we really talking about here about us and the things that we deal with? And we talking
about not being able to eat Twinkies.
Right. or in the spiritual, someone, you having to distance yourself from someone because of the gospel. I mean, those type of things. Like, what do we really have to complain about?
Somebody say something bad about me.
Boo-hoo.
Think of Paul. Acts 14.
Yeah.
There came, Acts 14, 19 through 20, there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Wow.
Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, I'm just picturing this, man. Like, they think they've killed him.
Right.
Here's people standing round about him, says he rose up. Came to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And you know what happened? Verse 21.
Yep.
And when they preached the gospel to that city, right?
Right back at it.
Light affliction. Dude, being stoned to death? I mean, come on, man.
It's mind-boggling, man, just to have that mentality.
Boo-hoo, I can't eat a Twinkie.
Oh, man. I'm almost at a loss for words, man. Really at a loss for words.
You and I both know, because we've talked about this, but I don't even like to say I've been persecuted.
Right, sure, yeah.
And we have. But then you look at the scriptures.
Like, no, I haven't.
And you just really. you think like, I'm being such a wuss. Come on, man. Like, what in the world am I considering this to be persecution? I have never been stoned to the point where people are standing around me assuming I'm dead.
Right.
And then to have the mental and physical ability to go and preach the gospel and then to write of it as light affliction.
Oh my, light affliction, wow. I remind him just that what do we have to complain about, or what do we 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Suck it up,
buttercup.
I mean, what, come on, man. Quit right. Ye like men, act like a man. Come on.
Spend your time focused like Paul was.
Mm-hmm.
Being ready today.
Yeah.
Today. Today is this day of salvation. Him and Timothy are the ones that wrote that in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that I read earlier. Yeah, it's a quote out of Isaiah, but it's the point that today is the day of salvation. That's not the day you obey the gospel. Salvation is the end.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people use that verse to talk about you ought to obey the gospel today to have your sins washed away. No, it's today is the end. That's when we receive salvation in the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's when our bodies are changed and made like unto his glorious body.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day of salvation. If I live like that today, my physical,
mm-hmm.
mental, spiritual life all line up.
Right.
So what? Your body's decaying.
Right.
You know what? That's going to happen for some people sooner than later.
Right.
Like my doctor tells me, and it frustrates the daylights. I try to beat the genetics. You know, I'm a competitive person.
Yeah.
If nothing else, sometimes I just line up against myself and see if I can beat myself.
Me,
you know?
Against you.
Yeah, me against me. And at the end of the day, you know, I thought about this while you were talking a little bit earlier. I thought I spend the majority of my time studying, probably more in a week than people do in years.
Sure.
And my mind is on spiritual things most of the time, just by virtue of the work that mm-hmm. I do. And still, I've got to remind myself that, hey, you know, this body is going to perish. I can't imagine what it's like for people who are presented more with carnal things.
Oh, man.
All the time. Than I am. It's that much important maybe to, you know, put these scriptures on your eyelids, so
for
to
sure.
speak.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you're reminding yourself, you know, I need to look at the things that are eternal, mm-hmm. that 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, right. rather than the things that are temporal.
Yeah, man, sure. I mean, we're those of us that work in the workforce daily, you know, exposed to a lot of different things, a lot of carnality, a lot of things of the world. Then you have to understand, like, again, that question. You spend so much time at work being exposed to all of that. How are you combating that? Mm-hmm. How are you combating the worldliness that we're around? Because you have to work, right? If you don't work, you don't eat. You know, worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5:8. If you don't work, you have to provide for your own. But how are you combating that? Where's your time being spent? How can you combat that thought process, which you're around and that you have to be around because you have to work? But how can you combat that being spiritual minded? That's when the work comes in. That's when you have to put your time and effort. That word effort is a huge word. Work. You have to work. You have to work at it. It's not just going to happen overnight. It's not going to be, oh, I put my Bible on my forehead and it's just going to sink in. No, you have to put work in.
Then you're not sitting there one day saying, look at all those hours I wasted doing this, and this. That doesn't matter.
Right.
Then you say, you know what? I spent those hours instead focusing my mind on the things that are beneficial.
Exactly.
Godliness.
And you have a peace.
Then you have that peace that passes
all understanding. You have that peace in your mind, in your life. And people can see that. People can visualize that. When the world is going awry and people are losing their mind over certain things, when they look at you, what do they see? Do they see a peace? Or do they see you getting flustered like everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
They can see that. They notice. Mm-hmm. And it's not a fake. It's an actual genuine peace that you have. Your disposition is that because you know this is not it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a peace that you know something greater is coming.
Or you just say it is what it is. Move on.
Roll with it. I mean, yeah.
Got any closing thoughts?
Man, just the whole question, where's your time being spent? You know, I'm going to ask myself that question. Everyone asks themselves that same question. Like, where's my time most being spent? Time is precious. This life is temporary. Put it towards something that's going to last for eternity, not just for a temporary pleasures of this life. Put your time and efforts into something that's going to last. That's my closing thoughts. Hope it's beneficial for someone.
Spend your time not just for your well-being, but
right.
Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Hebrews 5 verse 9. Spend that time on earth preparing for Christ to come.
Preparing.
And hey, true Christianity is, there's liberties. We get to enjoy this world. And the beauty of it is you see this world as passing away.
Right.
And everything in this world as temporary. Mm-hmm. So that whatever it is that happens,
you're ready for it.
You're ready. Because you recognize time is going by.
Very fast. Oh my goodness.
Very fast. Oh, and the older you get, the faster. And I'm sure people older than us that are listening to this podcast.
Yes, sir.
Are sitting there saying, just wait till you get my age.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I've got some years on you, but there's some listeners that have got some years on me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, but we get it. You know what? We get it. We understand. And it goes faster as you go further down that roller coaster of life, down that hill towards the bottom. Mm-hmm. But whenever that bottom gets, today is the day.
Today.
Thank y'all so much for listening. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk to you. Hope this has been productive to you and thought-provoking to you. As always, reach out if we can be helpful. Until next time, I will say goodbye.